The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our studies this morning in the doctrine of the U.S. in prophecy. We are at Roman numeral 7, page 2 of our notes. All right, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are placed in union with Christ, as represented there by the circle on our diagram. Once you enter into this union, thank God that union can never be broken under the doctrine of eternal security. Every phrase that we see in the scripture that says, in Christ, recognizes this unbroken and fantastic and eternal union that has been created through our simple faith apart from works into this historical person, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The issue becomes then for the believer priest, their Christian experience and what they will make of their eternal life niche beyond simply going to heaven. And obviously several things occur besides creating the union when we believe in Jesus Christ, not beyond that, both the indwelling and filling of God, the Holy Spirit, through the principle of regeneration occurs regards to the believer. This provides for the believer a new potential ruler in life that in competition with, if you will, contrast and antagonism, conflict in regards to the previous ruler, which was simply our flesh, the sin nature, the simple trend of Adam. When you engage in personal sin, you give your sin nature the green light and place it in rulership over the real you. In that vein, you lose the filling of God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling is eternal, just as the union is, as we are sealed until the day of redemption through the indwelling ministry. But we are not necessarily filled with God the Holy Spirit. And that means that we get out of fellowship when we engage in personal sin. How we regain the filling of God the Holy Spirit to get back into fellowship is the application of 1 John 1:9, the rebound technique, where in our prayer confession, God forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. In this vein, then, we are filled with God the Holy Spirit. We are in a state of spirituality. We are operating under God's umbrella and requirement of His plus R, the absolute plus R, that can only come through God the Holy Spirit and our Christian experience in that respect made possible with respect to God, Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And being in fellowship is all essential, especially as we study God's Word so that the sin nature, which is antagonism to the truth, does not go in and distort God's Word. The Bible is supernatural in that vein, and that is not understood as it as a secular academic book might be otherwise. It demands God the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us into that truth. That which I've just explained is how you are able to do so, how you are able to test the spirits of the communicator in and of himself, and that is by being in fellowship, by being filled with God the Holy Spirit. And because of that very principle, we recognize the fallacy in regards to many Christians today who do not even employ the rebound technique in their life at all, especially as it comes to the study of God's Word, why you have such a plethora and division in regards to interpretations. This is not the divine design. It is Paul's desire that all believers were like-minded in that regard. That is, that all believers pursue the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and the study of the truth of Bible doctrine, recognizing the truth in that vein. And therefore, it is our custom before every Bible class to make sure that we once again meet this exacting requirement by God so that we can advance ourselves in God's plan and His economy now, not only now in time, but also for eternity. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. Again, we thank you for your word, your veracity, your immutability, that you are faithful, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can depend upon your word being fulfilled in regards to every iota of it, to every completion, in regards to every prophecy, in regards to every promise, and every other ideology that is otherwise revealed in regards to your word. We ask that you bless us as we continue to pursue to understand these things so that we can serve you, glorify you and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in eternity in this way. We ask God the Holy Spirit will once again this morning enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in reviewing the doctrine of the United States of America in prophecy, we've covered a lot of scripture. We've covered a lot of issues that must be dealt with in regards to recognizing and extracting from the scriptures this very principle that the eagle's wings that is plucked from the lion in the book of Daniel is none other than the United States, and that the United States is a major player in the last days in regards to world history, in the days that ushers in, if you will, the tribulational period or Daniel's 70th week, ending the church age dispensation. The prophecy in regards to the United States is revealed in dual fulfillment, primarily around two national entities that have existed historically in the past that have a future destiny in fulfillment, and that is none other than Babylon, historical Babylon, and Edom. They are two national entities have far fulfillment, leading us, as I said, into the period of the tribulation. The names themselves are code to identify the mystery Babylon that is otherwise revealed to us in the book of Revelation, chapter 18, under the political economic venue that is recognized. The prophetic Babylon must be distinguished, as we've seen, in regards to its arms of operation and existence, and that is both a religious and political entity as so recognized in the original Babylon, Babel, the Tower of Babel, having both a religious and political arm, and that Revelation 17 and 18 deal with, one chapter deals with the religious entity, that's chapter 17, and chapter 18 deals with the political or economic entity, and we have two different entities that are in view, one religious, the other political, national in that regards. The religious Babylon of prophecy is none other than Roman Catholicism and its role in regards to the history of the church going into the age of Israel, or the Daniel 70th week, the tribulational period, which in and of itself recognizes that the religion does not present the gospel correctly in regards to its ideology, and that is one reason why it is evil. Not saying that all Catholics or unbelievers. They can still get the gospel through other means, but their ideology, their teaching, does not present the proper gospel of faith in Christ for their salvation. In that respect, that He is God in the flesh, the historical person Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins of the world, and 3 days later He was resurrected as the issue at hand. Rather, Roman Catholicism teaches you got to be a member of the church, and you got to employ the sacraments and baptism, etc., the works and ritual that they prescribe in order to be saved. And that is not the issue whatsoever. A lot of the confusion that exists even among denominationalism is simply facets of Roman Catholicism that has attached itself to the church over history, and is not bona fide in regards to biblical Christianity and the function of churches otherwise. So religious Babylon is to be distinguished from the political Babylon, and then obviously the historical Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, is distinguished in regards to prophetic Babylon, and that in and of its existence as it might exist today, that is the Babylon that still exists in location in the country of Iraq historically in that respect. So Babylon is a mystery nation. It is code to help us identify in regards to what that particular nation would be at this point in time in history. And the doctrine centers on why the U.S. Fits the bill in that respect. Now, Roman numeral 7, we deal with here in this point, political Babylon and the Tyre, the nation of Tyre that exists in the Old Testament. Now here, Tyre is not a prophetic fulfillment in regards to what's going on now. In regards to prophetic Babylon, that's what you get for teaching this doctrine. I'm coming to that realization. The demons don't like it. But anyway, it is not a prophetic fulfillment seen in regards to Tyre in a remote situation, and therefore Tyre is simply a type of Babylon. There are similarities. By a type, we mean that it's like a shadow. The earthly temple, Jewish temple, is a type or a shadow of the heavenly temple. It's not the exact duplicate, but it gives you the form, just like you see in a shadow. You can tell from the form and visualize what something is, but you can't see all the details. Well, Tyre is a type of Babylon, and that is with respect to its history as being extremely affluent and monetarily wealthy as a nation. And that is also ascribed in regards to the political Babylon in chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. We looked at Isaiah chapter 23. We read Ezekiel chapter 26 through 28 already. And we've read Revelation 18, so we won't read it again. So, point A, Roman numeral 7, as there are no clear, far fulfillments concerning Tyre, it's a type of political Babylon. We know that there were far fulfillments in regards to Babylon and Edom as certain aspects of the prophecy were not true of what happened to them historically previously. So something that is in anticipation of occurring in a remote setting is in view under dual fulfillment. So B, now both here as a type, it obviously characterizes prophetic Babylon or political Babylon. Both are portrayed as economic powers of their day. The idea of history repeats itself, even though people don't seem to learn from it very well. We saw here, we can compare Ezekiel 27:3. It's important to have these documentations available. To validate where we're coming from, Ezekiel 27:3, and say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, has port advantage, oceanic travel, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands. It has global economic influence and input. Thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said I am perfect in beauty. Compare that to Revelation 18:9 and following to show the parallels here between the mystery of Babylon of Revelation 18 and Tyre. The kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sexually with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning that occurs in 1 hour, one day, standing at a distance, verse 10, because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. A shadow. Tyre is a shadow of that reality in the far fulfillment of the prophetic Babylon here in view. And then it gives you a list of those things considered to be of great value among peoples there in verses 12 and 13. But the emphasis there at that point, again, is the global influence. The global international interaction to do business with all nations, to have our fingers, the great merchants, to have their tentacles of economic power in all nations. So see, both exhibit great arrogance as a result of God-given prosperity, recognizing God prospers or He doesn't. Ezekiel 28:1-6, verse 2, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas. Yet you are a man and not God, although you make your heart like the heart of God. The arrogance, the pride, the boast of their abilities as a nation. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you have acquired riches for yourself. You have acquired gold and silver for your treasures. This is how Tyre considers itself. The scripture is being facetious here. Is God is the one that prospers them as a nation, ultimately. But they dismiss God. They look at their own energy of the flesh as that only that is attributable to their wealth. Verse 6, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, most ruthless of the nations, and they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. Playing God. Our government is acting more and more just like that role. D. then compare Isaiah 47:8 in regards to prophetic Babylon here in as comparison. Now then, hear this, you sensual one who dwells securely, who says in your heart, I am, there is no one beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. Again, the arrogance that nothing can destroy her endeavors or conquer her or defeat her as a nation. D, as I've stated, both practice economic internationalism. Isaiah 23:15-18. Keep your fingers in the particular books as we'll be switching back and forth. Now, come about in that day that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the harlot or the whore. Take your harp, walk about the city, O forgotten harlot. Pluck the strings skillfully, sing many songs that you may be remembered. No, come about at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she'll go back to her whore's wages, and will play the whore with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. The international interaction in bed with everybody across the planet economically, and her gain and her whore's wages, verse 18, will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but will gain, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. God is ultimately going to reverse the situation and bring about the wealth that comes through international trade to believers. And that will occur during the millennium. But anyway. Ezekiel 27:33. When your wares went out from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. Many peoples. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enrich the kings of earth. In regards to Tyre, and then Revelation 18, again, 3, we saw that. 9, we saw that. Who committed acts of immorality, the kings of the earth, who lived sensually with her, living on the high hog at the expense of the citizens and others, the common layman of societies. E, both become involved in anti-Semitism because of greed. If you will, curse Israel. Anti-Semitism to be prejudiced against the Jewish race. All this confusion that's been handed down, a lot of it through distortion academically in schools, etc., of the difference between discrimination and prejudice, and how prejudice has been basically set aside in regards to one's attitude towards other races, etc., and discrimination is consistently used. Everybody discriminates. Everybody, discrimination is simply making a choice of who you will choose for or have a relationship with, etc. You don't hang out with murderers and thieves. You discriminate against this, see. Whereas prejudice obviously is holding a bias against a particular race, etc., simply based on the color of their skin, and things of this nature. But see, that's part of the tactic, to dumb people down. Ezekiel 26, 2 and 3. I can keep my fingers in the right books here. The Son of Man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, Israel, aha, the gateway of the peoples is broken. It has opened to me. In other words, going to take advantage in regards to their reestablishment as a nation, or their establishment as a nation. I will be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. Then compare Jeremiah 51 for a prophetic Babylon. Jeremiah 51:34. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an empty vessel. That being the land, the Israel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away. With the facade of being an ally in regards to Israel, it is used politically, again, as leverage to take advantage of them as a nation, to help control the arena of real estate in the Middle East, etc. These things are going on under the surface. Masonic involvement in regards to Israel is blatant. One of their new government buildings is built like the square of a Masonic symbol. We've seen some of those pictures, etc. So, you know, obviously interacting with unbelievers, Jewish unbelievers still in existence in Israel, you know, unscrupulous types. They take advantage of the peoples otherwise. Again, all these things are trying to tell them how to run their country, what real estate that they can possess and not possess, our fingers and all that stuff. And we're not saying all people are anti-Semitic in that regard. And some may have good intentions, but their actions are actions of anti-Semites. They're antagonistic in regards to them truly being God's chosen people. But anyway, not to get too involved in that. Both were ruled by monopolistic capitalists. Isaiah 23:8. The industry, the great merchants have a big role in regards to the evil comes out of Babylon. Capitalism is a good economic practice. The Bible teaches against socialism. Who are you to say whom God blesses and whom He does not? To say that It's the responsibility of others to support others who will not work. Whereas Paul said, you don't work, you don't eat. Things of that nature. Socialism, the communist ideology that's associated with that. The scripture teaches against it. We've read the verses. Isaiah 23:8, capitalism is a good practice. But the laws have been distorted and been exploited by some of the extremely wealthy and large industries. As I've said before, you can have major players that, while they're in competition with one another, will conspire with one another to help keep other people out of the market. The auto industry over history is a great example of that. People trying to start their own industries in the big three or four, whatever it is. Ford, by the way, was a Nazi sympathizer. That's known history. You know, things of that nature. You don't have them on the surface breaking the law of having monopoly, but in a collaborative effort, they gain a monopoly as a unit. And all you've seen is that principle strengthened over the last 3 months of our history. All right, let me get back here. Isaiah 23:8. Who has planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth? The Rockefellers, the Bill Gates, you know, all these people, big oilies. Revelation 18:23, they're exalted. And everybody thinks it's so great because of their own greed. And the light of the lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. The sorcery being the underpinnings, underwriting of a one-world government, and a major player and supporter in that vein, and all the evil that has come out of that. GE both experienced sudden cessation of economic affluence due to the fifth cycle through the example of Israel, as recorded for us in the book of Deuteronomy. When God deals with nation, God establishes all nations. He establishes their boundaries. He oversees their time of existence. He's always in control. But when nations go evil, God will intervene with national discipline. It's designed to be a wake-up call. To not go into their depravity any deeper, and to turn around before ultimate judgment and demise comes. And there's essentially five cycles where things start to happen economically. The health condition of societies all of a sudden facing new different types of diseases that can't be dealt with appropriately, and things of this nature. Wars, whereas God might have supported a nation previously of being victorious in warfare, now they're on the losing end. Reputations start going down the tubes because of their discussing economic or international policies with others. Things of this nature. And the fifth cycle is the ultimate cycle, and God promised Israel in it looks at their culpability in regards to God and His plan for their lives otherwise, and the blessing that He proposes for them to line up with His Word, that if they don't, then all these things are going to happen to them. And the fifth cycle is the ultimate, whereas He said, I will kick you out of the land. I will remove you from your real estate and disperse you among the nations. And the Jewish race is the only race that I know of in particular that over some almost 2,000 years that they were dispersed among all the nations in the world, they never lost their racial and heritage identity. Most people are simply assimilated into the societies to which they are dispersed. But not the Jews. But anyway. And the wake-up calls are there. And it's the attitude of making an adjustment in regards to these things or not that will determine the ultimate fate in regards to a nation. We've been seeing ours for some time. And now they're basically in our face. If you don't think the United States is not prophetic Babylon, give me a better candidate. The craziness that's going on in our country right now. But anyway. Ezekiel 26, 7 through 12. Get my mind back in the book here. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the one that ultimately would overthrow Israel and take them into captivity. King of kings with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland with a sword, and he will make siege walls against you, cast up a mound against you, and raise up a large shield against you. In the blow of his battering rams, he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you. The military, the expanse and numbers of military is unbelievable. Your walls will shake at the noise of cavalry and wagons and chariots. When he enters your gates, as many as men enter a city that is breached, with the hoods of the horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. Also, they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise. Break down your walls, destroy your pleasant houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. In Revelation 18, compare that, Revelation 18, 17 to 23, to the prophetic Babylon. For in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. Verse 17, and every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, as many as make a distance, living by the sea, stood at a distance. Verse 22, the sound of the harpists, musicians, flute players, trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. The sound of the mill will not be heard in you any longer. Age both fell, never to be revived. However, the territory, the geography, it continues to be inhabited. Tyre is present-day Lebanon area. Whereas the United States, prophetic political Babylon, it will not ever be inhabited again. So that's a major difference there. Ezekiel 26:14. I'll make you a bare rock. Will be a place for spreading the nets. You'll be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord God. Their capital city. Revelation 18:21. strong angel took a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, will not be found any longer. And then both point I, another parallel, both were entertainment capitals of the world. We just saw that, Ezekiel 26, that was verse 13. So I will silence the sound of your songs, the sound of your hearts will be heard no more. And then what we saw there in Revelation 18:22. All right, Roman numeral 8. This gives you reasons for identifying political Babylon with the United States. Again, we have shown that this is not referring to historical Babylon in present-day Iraq. I gave you five distinct contrasts of the reason why not in our doctrine. Then I showed you the web page where one person went in and studied it out, and they came up with 60 reasons why it's not. So it must refer to an entity that is completely like in character and has the identity of Babylon and Edom, etc., associated with it. And to be something different is not unusual. Jesus Christ spoke of John the Baptist and said, this is Elijah, if you can accept it, as a forerunner of Jesus Christ. It is not the same person. So, obviously, that's not the prophecy of Elijah returning with Christ's second advent. He will do so literally. But at the first advent, John the Baptist, if you will, fulfilled that role. So, to have an entity that is not named that particular name, but still refers to the same, is accepted in the scriptures. So, reasons for identifying political Babylon with the United States. A political Babylon is described as the last of nations, last underlined. A later nation in human history. That's Jeremiah 50, verse 12. That your mother will be greatly ashamed, recognizing that it has a mother nation for its existence. That is none other than England. For us, the lion of which the eagle's wings are plucked from in the book of Daniel. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. Embarrassed to even have been a part of the whole experiment. Our country has been called that many times. Behold, it will be literally the last of the nations. The word there, it means tarried or deferred to the end. A wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. The New American Standard translates it, at least. It should be last. It denotes time sequence. So it is. There are major players in the last days setting the stage in regards to enter Antichrist in that period of history of Daniel's 70th week. United States is part of it. Great Britain is part of it. Russia is part of it. Chinese Communist Confederation is part of it. The leopard and the bear. Babylon political is said to have a mother nation. We saw Daniel 7:4. We just saw Jeremiah, Daniel 7:4. Explicitly gives you the symbolism that not until you are living in that point in time in history are you going to be able to specifically identify who these prophetic entities are. We can do that now because of history and our ability to identify certain prophetic players in regards to the end times. We are teaching, the doctrine is being taught at a level not having been experienced previously in the church age, as pure as the truth was otherwise. The early writers of the scripture, they knew that they would be national entities. But they couldn't tell you, well, this is the United States, this is Russia. We can do that. And because of that, we're more culpable now. We're part of the time in history. It tells you that you're on the timeline that is in view. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. I kept looking until his wings were plucked and was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. See, Babylon political is made up of peoples from every nation on earth. That's Jeremiah 51, verse 9 and 44. Verses 9 and 44. He applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. Verse 9, forsake her and let us each go to his own country, recognizing the immigration status of this society being very diverse. For a judgment is reached to heaven and towers up to the very skies. And then, verse 44. I shall punish Bel and Babylon. I shall make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth. Bel being a pagan god that is worshipped in practice, in principle. Usually of sexual nature, open society, a free sexual society basically has been pushed now for a half a century big time. And the nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. And we have inscribed obviously on our money, and as well as on monuments, e pluribus unum, the many one. That's what we're made up of. Predominantly Anglo-Saxon in regards to race, but now most people are a Heinz 57 variety over a couple of hundred years. The political Babylon is the dominant economic power going into the tribulation. Again, Revelation 18, 18 and 19. So we fit all these things as a country to a T. The E Pluribus Unum is unique to our country. They say our country has a problem with systemic racism. You can't find another country in this world that all races are given such opportunity to advance themselves and be what they want to be in our country. What is right is wrong. What is wrong is right. The land of confusion. The agenda to turn things around. People can't see the program that is in play. Then that's their problem, not ours. Let the doctrine keep your vision and focus straight so you don't get caught up in this stuff. Yeah, there's jackasses out there. There is in every society in regards to racial disparity and things of this nature. But overall, and understand, not everybody of a particular race agrees with everybody of their particular race either. Our position is to be at peace with all men to the degree possible, and to apply divine love across the board. It doesn't make any difference who they are. You don't look at people based on color. You judge with righteous judgment. You look at people the way God would look at them. You make your decision based on what's right and what's wrong, what's doctrinally correct, and what's human viewpoint. That's how you make your decision. It doesn't make a difference who's misapplying or applying. See? That's how you're able to be impartial and fair and equitable in regard to all people. But see, our morals have been thrown out the window. With the attack on the Christian faith, from which the absolute moral standards that our country was designed to revolve around in regards to that which is considered to be evil, criminal, and things of this nature, all that's under attack. And you remove the absolute standards that the Bible otherwise provides, and then everything is relative. It's relative to the majority and how they want it to be. So, you know, all these things are in play. Political Babylon is located in the midst of the sea. We have water that surrounds our entire continent. Sea being large bodies of water. Atlantic on the east, Pacific on the west, the Gulf of Mexico on the south, and then you have the Great Lakes that extend, as I've stated, over 70% of the northern boundaries of our country. Isaiah 21:1. Concerning the wilderness of the sea country. And then Jeremiah 51:13. Oh, you dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures. Your end has come, the measure of your end. Political Babylon has a northern enemy, that which we have identified through the code name Medes and armies of the north, otherwise as being none other than Russia and her confederation. Jeremiah 59:41. For I'm going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. They will draw up their battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. Their missile attack, offensive, is basically unequaled. We may claim superiority, but if the truth be known, you may be surprised. In verse 41... Behold, the people is coming from the north, and a great nation and many kings will be aroused in remote parts of the earth. They'll stir up other nations to join them in their attack. And then, and we'll take our break. Political Babylon exists contemporaneously with other nations such as Russia, as I've pointed out, the bear, the Orientals, the leopard, the Pan-Arabic bloc, the revived Roman Empire, the Arab nations, obviously in the Middle East, Turkey, Afghanistan, all these things. The European Union, the Roman Catholic Church exists with us, and Israel. All these things are existing at the same time. And that places us in our time and place in history today. All right, take a break.